Hello and welcome to the hearing. I'm John.
And from Chicago's North Side, I'm Scotto.
And without any further ado, on to this week's album, which is from 1985, Play Deep by The Outfield. This is our tribute to bassist and vocalist Tony Lewis, who passed away a couple weeks ago, I think. The English.
I think really, not that long ago.
The Outfield, let me take that again, were an English rock band best known for their hit song Your Love, and really, that's it. They had an unusual experience for a British band, in that they enjoyed commercial success in the US, but never in their home country of the UK. They were much
That's
more
very.
popular here.
I don't think I've ever heard this happen before, honestly. Who does this? Usually you have to gain popularity in your own country first, and then the company there makes a deal to distribute you in the US. But I don't even understand how it happened, honestly.
There is one other case that I know of, Hendrix. He first gained popularity in England, and then he became popular over here.
Well, I mean, I think we've had it work the other way for a number of bands first. Like Cheap Trick, I think Japan before here.
Budokan, yeah. The
And
entire reason Budokan is a thing.
yeah, it's there's a number of bands that did that. They found a country first. But the US, like coming from another country into the US first, I don't know who has done that.
Play Deep is the band's debut studio album. It was released on November 12, 1985, on Columbia Records, produced by William Whitman, and features Tony Lewis on vocals and bass guitar, John Spinks on guitar and vocals, Alan Jackman on drums and percussion, with additional musicians Reg Webb on keyboards and backing vocals, and Frank Callahan on additional vocals. Reminder, I don't edit any songs into our reviews for copyright reasons, but down in the description, if you're listening to this on YouTube or on our blog at johnscio.com, you'll find links to Play Deep on Spotify and YouTube so you can follow along if you'd like. On to track one, Say It Isn't So. This is not a Hall & Oates cover. Love the giant snare sound on this one.
There's this hair metal kind of intro, and then it just kind of metals out,
They tracked Alan Jackman's drums very well. Nice vocal harmonies. That's throughout the album. I really enjoyed the harmonies. Love the slight overdrive on the guitars. Nice groove in the chorus and diverse too. Nice.
Now, there are more than three instruments playing here,
Well, there's
especially during the solo, there's an extra guitar.
usually two guitars and a keyboard. Usually very subtle keyboard. Nice high harmony on the bridge, very Police. We'll get back to the Police. Nice melodic guitar solo. They have a very, and I have this note in on track one, they have a very consistent sound, but I think it might get old by the end of the album.
Now the structure on this one seems odd, like in this song. It's like the chorus is solid, but the verse seems a little wonky to me. I'm not sure if I'm settled. I've listened to this, as a kid. At least I think I did. I know my brother had it, and I think I listened to it often.
I know
But
the singles of it.
this is one of them. I kind of remembered this one, but yeah, the verse structure is a little weird, I thought.
This
Like it
is
doesn't
one.
flow together.
No. The timing is a little weird in the verse. This is
Yeah.
one of two songs I remembered from the album. To the other one, track two, Your Love. Of course, this is the super mega hit that they had that you
Yeah.
couldn't, listen to radio for 5 seconds in the 85 without hearing or watch any MTV.
Right.
Have to admit, not a fan of the subject matter. It's about cheating on his girlfriend.
Yeah, the whole album is like it's from different perspectives of like the bad relationship, like being cheating on somebody. Yeah, this one's cheating on someone, and or suspicion of someone cheating on you, and of course the isolation and distance.
John Spinks, the guitarist who wrote everything, says that it's entirely fictional.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to see that he wrote everything. Usually,
Well,
there's a the singer writes something.
Well,
He has all the writing
a lot of the,
credits.
oftentimes the singer will write the lyrics,
Yeah.
but there are often a lot of a number. I won't say a lot, a number of bands where you have one guy who writes everything.
Yeah.
Tall Ian Anderson writes everything. Ian,
Yeah.
Danny Elfman wrote everything with Oingo Boingo. Neil Morse wrote everything for Spock's Beard, but it's usually the singer.
Right. It's very strange to just have this. I mean, it is John Spinks's band, he
Yeah, they're two
started
just
it.
playing it.
Yeah. But this
But
song, of course, is damn perfect, honestly. It's, the progression, it just it, then you have the solo bridge that adds a great dimension to it too, to pull it back a bit. And then it just builds back up with that nice swirling guitar work at the end to end.
This is an odd thing to say as a Rush fan, but the high vocal does get a little grating to me.
Yeah, there is a huge Rush influence in there, and it didn't click with me until right before you called, and I was like listening to the last track again.
See, I didn't hear Rush with the vocals. Yeah, I don't hear much Rush. I hear a lot of Sting in the vocal.
Well, I mean, I think there's Colin Hay, there's
Oh,
Sting,
yeah, we'll get
there's, I
to
mean.
Colin Hay. Next track, I have two particular very early 80s bands who I think these guys borrowed heavily from. But
So
sticking
I'm
with
not
your
sure if
love for
I'd
a
pick
minute.
Your Love is the Strongest or not, it's a tough call for me.
But it does have a great guitar tone, great harmonies. The chord solo always intrigued me. The solo is just these couple of chords that he plays an arpeggio through. It's not
Yeah.
like a traditional solo. I enjoyed that. The keyboards are very subtle. I had to really listen to hear them. And I like that the last verse just, ends half at like the halfway mark, and then we get this instrumental jam on the way out.
Yeah.
Love the
Oh
ending
yeah.
solo.
I wish they didn't use that vocal he does at the end where he hits the Your Love. I wish they didn't use that on the first track. Like it's the same exact thing where he's hitting like the note at the end of Say It Isn't So. He does the same exact thing at the end of this one.
They do the
Of
same exact
course.
thing a lot.
Yeah, but of course you don't want to. I mean, you didn't know which one was going to be the big hit. So I think they're hedging their bets.
On to track three, I Don't Need Her. And the other band that they remind me of, aside from Men at Work and The Police, but I love what I call the big country guitar riff.
Damn it, you have Big Country too. You got it too. I was like, wait for it.
They are big country meets Men at Work with Colin Hay on vocals. Or not Colin Hay, with the Sting on vocals. There's a,
I
I
would
mean, there's a,
still
there's a
take
little of the
more
guy
Hay
from
than
Big
Sting.
Country and there's a little bit of Colin, but
But yeah, I mean, I don't know how much more they go Big Country, but this is definitely a Big Country song,
there the that outfield sound that's on like all but three tracks is very much like Men at Work meets Big Country.
And I
And I,
think.
a lot of his vocal is very reminiscent of the guy from Big Country too. But I do
I
like
think
the
the Men at
slightly
Work,
distorted
though, is
bass.
just the vocal.
What?
I think the Men at Work comparison is more about the vocal than the music, because Men at Work had so much more of a jazz kind of thing going
Well, they had
on.
more going to them, but that whole 80, early 80s power pop thing,
Yeah.
which Men at Work very much pioneered, these guys latched on to, with that
I would
high,
say
big.
there's a lot more of like a 60s power pop thing going on here for throughout the album more than anything else.
Yeah, perhaps, perhaps. I
Whereas I think
do.
Men at Work is more prog, influenced.
Yeah, perhaps. I do like the distorted bass, nice double stops in the solo. And there are some nice, single note leads behind those double stops in the solo. I do enjoy that. John Spinks didn't go for conventional solos a lot, so yeah, it's nice
Yeah.
to hear that a little here and there. On to track four, Every Time You Cry. Slow song is a nice change of pace.
Yeah. I like the vocals on I Don't Need Her. It's probably one of his strongest lead vocals, But this one, I think I really liked this one as a kid because it really showed off the harmonies and I just like the contrast between the verse and chorus.
Yeah. Nice ethereal guitar tone. Lewis's voice really fits this one.
Yeah.
Great blend between the ahs and the keys, the harmonies and the keyboards.
Yeah.
Nice subtle 12 string on the chorus. You don't hear much acoustic or 12 on this album, but so it pops up occasionally. It's nice.
It's blended in, which is why it's like there's only one guitar player credited, really.
Well,
I
there's.
mean, Tony
Well, no,
Tony
John
Lewis is
Spinks is
credited
the
as
only
bass
guitarist.
guitar, right?
Yeah.
So who? I mean, is he overlay dubbing
Well, it's all
or
overdubbed. They had another
yeah.
guitarist who toured with them.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the guy in the other guitar player in the Your Love video is their touring guitarist. And the keyboard player is Reg Webb. The keyboard player, the blind keyboard player in the
Yeah.
Your Love video is Reg Webb. So that's their touring band. In the studio, it's just the three of them with Reg Webb and another background vocalist who also toured with them. Nice melodic bass part in the second half of verse two. Tony Lewis doesn't show off on bass, but he does get a little melodic here and there, and it's always nice. I always like to hear it.
Yeah, I would like to have heard more bass. Yeah.
Yeah, bass for the most part is very buried behind these, thick guitar
Yeah.
sounds. Interesting, very beatly vocal harmonies in verse three. Nice drum part in the outro. Nice gong at the end. There's not enough gong. And I mean in music in general, not enough gong.
Gong and cowbell.
On to track five, 61 seconds. Nice harmonized guitar riff in the beginning. Like the way the guitars on the left and the right complement each other, and it's a nice separation. You get one in each ear. Good groove.
Yeah, this is what I remember from the old days too. Yeah, it's very catchy. I think the lyrics are bullshit, but you
I wasn't paying atten much attention to the lyrics on this album. The only one I ever noticed was Your Love because I heard it a billion times back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much, kind of the suggesting of a 9-to-5 person being a bad thing, which I think it. Lyrics like this kind of fucked me up as a kid because, it's what most of us wind up, having to do.
Like the bass, it's nice and clear in the mix. This is where I noticed that the Big Country Men at Work thing. Like the punctuated rhythm into chorus three, nice big guitar, bass, and kick hits in the outro. But this is also where the album started going down for me because I just got tired of every song sounding the same.
Well, I think the next one is a bit of a detour.
Mystery Man, track six. Nice. The synths in the opening were a nice surprise. The first time we get really
Yeah.
obvious keyboards.
I mean, it's
But
a very weird ass solo that they give him,
yeah,
or that he
keyboard solo
takes.
is
I don't know.
fascinating. Do like that the pace picks up at the outro. Yeah, hearing more keys was a nice change. But this is where I actually have in my notes starting to get tired of almost every song sounding the same.
But I mean, this one was unique, I thought. I mean, I thought this was, I mean, this is a pretty strong track if you hadn't, if you heard, put this one earlier in the album, I think.
On to track seven, all the
And
lo
lyrically, it's weird
okay.
too. Like, what is it, a pre-internet Nigerian prince? I don't really remember this one at all, honestly.
On to track seven, all the love. Yet another song that sounds the same. Vocals very sting. Nice chimey guitar tone in the chorus. Nice snappy snare sound, which is a note I can say for everything. I love how they recorded a snare. Nice to hear an
I do remember
upfront
this one.
sing.
This was a pretty big single.
Okay. Nice to hear an upfront single note conventional guitar solo for a change. And this is my main comment on the outfield. This sums it up for me. They're a really good band for singles, but an album gets monotonous.
Yeah, I could see how this would be like at least three or four other songs on the album. The one difference with this one is the drummer gets into this weird kind of waltz during the solo. But other than that, it is very much the same as Say It Isn't So or even Your Love.
On the track nine, Talk to Me. Nice to hear Lewis's voice go a little lower in the beginning. Nice harmonies in the pre-chorus. I'm just struggling to think for things to say at this point. I actually have that note, struggling to think of things to say.
This one's a very 60s pop sound to
Yeah.
it. Like, at first I thought like Fogerty's Rock and Roll Girls, but then I was like, wait a minute, Fogerty took that from someone else. And
Oh, yeah.
then, like, after it was, the Rockin' Rebels Wild Weekend.
Nothing Fogerty ever did was original. He was very much a roots, call back to your influences kind of guy.
Yeah.
Nice jangly, maybe acoustic guitar in verse two and on the outro. Like how high in the mix the bass is on the bridge. That's about it.
Although it is weird that Rock and Roll Girls and this one was out the same year, and they're the outfield, and the album he did was Center Field.
Oh yeah, because Fogerty was going for a super Americana thing. I don't know. I think there is a story behind the name of the outfield and why a British band picked a baseball reference, but I don't remember it offhand.
I think they first went for the Baseball Furies from the Warriors.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And I don't know how that wound up being the outfield after a while that morphed into it. I have no idea how that transformation took place. But yeah, that's what they like the Warriors.
Okay. Wow. On to track nine, Taking My Chances. Nice jagged guitar tone in the intro. This one sounds different. I appreciate these
Yes.
last two songs because they're different.
This one's definitely another left turn on the album.
Yeah. John Spinks gets some lead vocals in this one. He reminds me a lot of Joey Ramone.
I'm a sucker for a songwriter singing his own lyrics. The Tony Banks thing. So they're not the best singer in the world, but they're gonna fucking do it anyway.
This is
And this
my
one, yeah, it's like such a more frantic pace too than the
Much more
rest of the
aggressive.
album. Yeah.
This is my favorite just because it's different. The
Yeah,
acoustic
it's
in the
definitely a
chorus
different.
adds some nice texture. Great rock guitar tone on the solo. I think he tapped during the solo.
Oh yeah.
I think I heard some tapping.
there's also that in that break solo there, I think that's a reference to The Wall. Where they'd have the unanswered phone call.
This is the
It's like the
song.
same dial tone and everything.
In later albums, they went a bit prog, apparently, according to Wikipedia. And I think this was
I
kind of the
do
first
remember
hint
them
at it.
having a heavier keyboard sound, definitely.
I think this was the first hint of it. This was the first point where John Spinks decided, okay, I don't want to be a pop star. I want to make rock. I want to play rock.
But yeah, this is more a garage sound. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
On to track 10, last track, Nervous Alibi. Nice slow opening. They finally changed things up for the last two songs. Great vocal. Probably my favorite vocal on the album.
Really? This would probably be my pick for weakest on the album,
Really?
actually. It doesn't seem like a fully developed song, and I'm not sure
Well,
I
I was just the
particularly like
vocal.
the vocals.
Nice melodic bass in the second half of the verse. Love the giant snare sound. The drum fills leading into and during the solo, very Phil Collins.
Yeah. Well, how could you not in 85,
I mean, I'm not sure they had gated reverb, but beyond that, just the phrasing of them was totally in the air tonight. So do you recommend?
It's kind of like Every Time You Cry, only without the big chorus, and you just have like that lower end of the register. But then you have that brief climax at the end of the song, but it just doesn't really work for me as a climax of the album. I think I definitely rearranged the track listing of it. But yes, I would recommend it. I think there's a lot of stuff that kind of clumps together, but I think there's also a lot of stuff that really stands out too at the same time. And the harmonies are fucking to die for.
And this is a rarity, but I don't recommend it. Just go listen to Big Country's first album and Minute Work's first album and some Police. Much better version of the same sound. That's it for Play. Sorry, Bruce. That's it for Play Deep. Until next time, we'll be reviewing Blacklight Syndrome by Bozio Levin Stevens. Yes, Terry Bozio from Missing Persons, Tony Levin from a ton of session work,
Every
also King Crimson and Peter Gabriel,
yeah.
and Steve Stevens, best known for playing with Billy Idol
Oh, wow.
on guitar. It's
Dirty
interesting.
Diana.
He's a hell of a guitar player.
Yeah, he is.
Wildly underrated. Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.